heard about a pastor who had been assigned to help to go into some of the kids' classes and help teach because they were talking about marriage. And so he goes into this class, and he doesn't really know what to say, so he does what he thinks is the safest thing he could do, is say, does anyone here know a verse about marriage? A little girl says, me. Says, okay, honey, how about you? Thou shalt not kill. Not what he was looking for. So he said, well, you know what, maybe I'll try a boy this time. A little boy said, me. He says, okay, buddy, what? How about you? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is probably close to the condition of marriage in America. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a real dilemma in our culture. We are divorcing faster than ever before. And yet we are getting married relentlessly more than ever before. We are enthusiastically, optimistically stupid when it comes to marriage. We know we want to be married. We just don't know how to be married very well for very long. I want to fix that. Because really good people fail at marriage if they don't know how. Somehow in our culture, we just think that we just arrive with all the skill, knowledge, and techniques that it requires to live with another really messed up individual. I don't know about you, I'm having a hard time dealing with me, much less my wife. So here are the goals for these weeks together. One, that drowning marriages will be rescued. If you're in a drowning marriage, hang on, buddy. Help is coming. Two, that troubled marriages will be saved. Three, that stuck marriages will get unstuck. Four, that good marriages will go from good to great, and that great marriages will become contagious. I was trying to think of a verse better than the ones this pastor got as a springboard to this entire series. And I kept coming back to this minor prophet called Amos. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Marriage is an agreement. You don't have to be married. I was talking with a couple between services. They said, we've been married 5 weeks. 4 weeks. I said, tell me you have known each other longer than 5 weeks. And they said something I couldn't believe. They said, we've been dating 9 years. Do you know that the odds of getting married after dating 9 years are non-existent? Seriously. They are non-existent. They are so small, they don't even register on the percentage scale. I said, I just have to ask this question. Why did you wait so long? She said, we waited so long because everyone was trying to pressure us to get married. And we wanted to get married because we wanted to get married. Smart lady. You should never get married unless you want to. Class over. But you have to want, you have to have more than a want to, right? There are 4 skill levels to marriage. We're going to talk about each one of them and go through them as we go through this journey together. 101 is the skill it takes to get married. We are awesome at that in this country. I mean, just watch the reality TV shows. Bridezilla, when you want to marry that sweet queen. You ever heard the phrase, love is blind, and it's also deaf and dumb? Absolutely. Getting married in America, it seems to be like a sport. The average wedding in America costs between $30,000 and $40,000. And yet we get married with little or no skill that it takes to live at 201, and that's being married. Trust me on this. It takes a whole set of competencies to be married than it takes to get married. Right? The getting married is just the getting started. Level 301. the skill it takes to stay married. Hello, some of you right now are just by your fingernails staying married. We're staying married because we cannot afford to divorce. When you say that, you should smile. Because there's so much pain involved in it, that's about all you can do. Some of you there, someone in this room, I guarantee you, yeah, boy, I'd leave him right now, man, if I could afford an apartment. Well, thank God you can't afford one because help is on the way. And then level 401, which I have a passion and a dream for. People often ask me, what is your vision for the gathering? Well, it's for me to become the next Billy Graham. No, it's not that grandiose. You know what? If we as a movement could help people grow great marriages, I'd be happy with that. I've built big buildings. I've bought land. I've done all this other stuff. I want to spend the rest of my life helping good people grow great marriages. That is the only thing that will save America. I truly believe that with all of my heart. You see, we don't need better government. It's not, our country will not be determined what happens in the White House, but in my house and in your house. Better marriages will have better kids. Better kids will have better families. Better kids and better families will have better society. Better families are absolutely essential if we're going to get out of the malaise we find ourselves in our society. J. Paul Getty, the great financier, said this, "I hate to be a failure. I hate and regret more than anything else, the failure of my marriages. I would gladly surrender my millions for just one lasting marital success." So let's talk about that. And let's start by just agreeing on what is the nature of marriage. Because you don't understand what the nature of it is. How can you ever be successful at it? There are three options, it seems to me, in our culture. For some people, marriage is a cultural creation. It has been created by cultural expectations. For some, it is puritanical. It is something that was invented and forced on people. And if you take that view, if marriage is simply a cultural creation, then you can define it any way you choose. And that's what we're trying to do in America right now. As look at it solely as a cultural creation. Now, I would say this. Marriage is not a cultural creation, but it does create culture. And what kind of culture are we creating? I'm not talking about on my Christian soapbox. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. But listen, I saw a commercial, maybe you've seen it too, that over 1.2 million kids would drop out of high school this year. I wonder if that has any correlation with the fact that 1 million kids will lose the presence of their father in their home this year. Here's what I found. We've raised three girls to adulthood, and they've all been in public school, and here's what I've learned. Where there is a mother and a father passionate together about the success of their children in school, there will be success in school. I'll say this because he's no longer here. Isn't it great to talk about people when they're not here? Our former superintendent of Metro Schools, I think his first name, was his first name Pedro? Am I right here? Last time I got it, I called him Paco, I think. That was not good. I don't think people appreciated that. But it was not on purpose. I was in a meeting with him where he was asked this question, which I was very intriguing. If you could improve Metro Schools, what one thing would you do? If you could do one thing, he had a magic wand, you could wave it. Stay with me here. This is what he said. It was fascinating. I would close every private and Christian school in Metro. War! Kill it now! And then I leaned forward and said, let me be quick to say that I'm not against Christian education and I'm not against private school. But if you're asking me, if I could magically make school better, I would put us all together with solid families, and those solid families engaged together would help the struggling families come up to the level of the solid families. He says, good marriages make great kids, and great kids make great schools. Struggling marriages make insecure, angry, messed up kids, and angry, messed up kids mess up school. Amen? That's the truth. So instead, we could just curse the darkness, or we can do something about it. How about we create, through our lives and our marriages and our families, better culture? How about that? Let's let the government rest a while. Let's get under the load and do our job. Amen? For some people, marriage is a little bit more than that. It is a civil contract, and it certainly is that. And I'm proud and thankful to live in a culture that protects marriage through a civil contract. When you are licensed to marry, you go to the civil government, right? And there are three things that all civil governments agree on of the nature of marriage. That nature, that they're threefold. That marriage is financial unity. When you file your taxes, you file a joint return. And we're not talking about legalized marijuana, are we? Wow. Did I say marijuana? Joint account. Financial unity. Family responsibility. When you fill out a form, they will ask you your next of kin. And sexual, believe it or not, fidelity. Exclusivity. These are the things that are understood, even in our civil contract. If you commit adultery, you are frowned upon. Thank God. There's at least a little stigma involved. Look at Tiger Woods. Who wants him not to succeed? And yet look at the disjointedness of his life and his play played out for the whole world to see. Wouldn't you hate for your foibles and sins to be played out for the whole world to comment on? Hello? Not me. There's a third option for what the nature of marriage is. And it's what I firmly believe and have experienced in my own life, that marriage is a spiritual covenant. As a contract, it really fails. But as a covenant, a spiritual covenant, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united. The Hebrew word idea there is glued. Glued to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife both naked, and they felt no, what? Shame. I just watched Friday night with my family, Eat, Pray, Love. I've been anticipating and looking for it for a long time. And the one thing I came away with, although I was disappointed with the overall experience, is people are driven to find peace. And that divorce is a continual wound. I wish we could do away with it. It is so painful. The destructive wake that it leaves behind it is beyond measure. And I want to do everything I can to keep people out of divorce court. Amen? I want them to be together. I want that spiritual covenant. See, when you come and are married before God, you literally are married into God. It is now a trinity. It is you, her, and him. He moves in. Ladies, you think you're alone against that big Bubba? Sit God on him. Amen. God, go get him. And when God gets him, he can get him a whole lot better because he stays God. Right? 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 All right, if marriage is a spiritual covenant, it is something of the heart. Let me make an attempt at trying to define it. Marriage is a deeply wounded man and a deeply wounded woman. We got to start right there, right? I mean, we're both messed up. If you're looking for the perfect person, I got good news for you. You can lay down the mantle right now. There are no perfect people. You know, I ask people, why do you want to get married? Oh, she's so wonderful. She's so perfect. So you do not know her very well, do you? Wait till you wake up after you're married and see her in curlers. When I got married, they used to do the orange juice cans. Knock the top out and roll the hair up in. Ah, what was that? It's like a Martian. Of course, I guess I'm no surprise either when you wake up early in the morning. We won't talk about that. Next week, we're going to talk about this, that we both brought our baggage into this relationship. A deeply wounded man and a deeply wounded woman promising. That's the key, isn't it? This is a promise. And if you can't keep your promise, don't get married. And don't settle for anyone who won't make this promise. Amen? You're worth it. You're worth someone saying, I promise you forever. Wow. Oh, hey, here's something you don't know. Just like Monopoly, it all goes back in the box, baby. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your money. You're going to lose your cars. You're going to lose your teeth. You're going to lose your looks. And some of you, if you don't straighten up, are going to lose your hair. The only thing you can keep and take into eternity are the promises that you've made based on the integrity that resides at the center and the core of who you are. I promised Paula forever. And what are we going to be doing from now until forever? Staring at each other saying, oh my God, I didn't know you'd look this way at 58. No, we're building something. We're growing something. At our home, we have a whole wall that is just nothing but our family photos. My mom and dad's pictures up there, and Paula's mom and dad's pictures up there, and you know, family portraits from when Aaron graduated from high school, and then later when Lindsay graduated from high school, and then there are other things. It's just a whole bunch of just kind of a collage. At the very top, Paula has put a plaque. All this because two people fell in love. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, marriage, I can't speak for you, has saved my life. Jesus saved my soul. Paula saved my life. I wouldn't be a shadow of the man I am today without her. I wouldn't have gone to college. I would have quit. I wouldn't have worked. I mean, I have kids. I had to work hard to put, I mean, women, girls are a lot more expensive than boys. Can we talk? Gee whiz. And then you go to college and all this stuff. Man, I worked hard. I've been more engaged. I've had responsibility. Being married has brought out the very best of my redemptive potential as a man. It has raised the expectation. And because I love my wife and I love my life and I do everything I can to love my God, I want to be a better man. I want to be a man worthy of the love of a good woman. I made that promise. And if I keep that promise, I will have been successful. Because if I succeed in my professional life, in my public life, and fail at home, in my judgment, I have failed. The number one sign, the number one key, the number one measurement that will tell you the well-being or the dis-ease of your marriage is this: loss of desire. Do you remember when you got married and you could not wait for the honeymoon? Oh, my Lord. What a disappointment. I mean, I'm not speaking personally. I mean, you get married, two kids who've never had sex before. How do we get this right? I don't know. We've never practiced. Have we? You remember how much in love you were? You remember what you just couldn't do? You just talked to each other on the phone. I remember I lay on the floor right next to the furnace and talked to Paula when we were dating. My mother said, "Get off the phone! Shut up, Ma. Get off the phone! What are you talking about? What did I say? Nothing." Because we were in love. We wanted each other. We desired one another. I love this out of Romans 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor by serving the Lord. The more I am right with God, the more spiritual passion I have to pour into my marriage. Here's the truth. Write this down. Attention creates desire. I promised my wife that I would focus my attention on her. If you don't have any desire for your mate, it's because you've been paying attention to the wrong thing. Get off the internet. Sexrus.com.net. Shut her down. Stay away. Stop making love to yourself and start making love to that good woman you married. Yeah, come on. I don't care. I'll take you all. Boom. We talk about that in church and we go, "Oh my Lord." Well, where are we supposed to talk about it? Behind the barn with a cheap cigarette? I promised her forever. Attention creates desire. Say that with me. Attention creates desire. I'll give you an example. I have a Harley. I'm not saying that with pride, but I'm pretty happy about the whole thing. It's not a Yamaha. It's not a Kawasaki. It's not a Honda. I don't speak in tongues. Was you bought a Honda, bought a Kawasaki, bought a... No, whatever. It wasn't funny the first time either. I have a 2005 Electric Glide Standard. I love it. It's great. It's black. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Sitting in my garage. I look at it every day. Ride it when it's not so hot that you melt. I made a mistake the other day of going into a Harley store, and I saw the new 2010s. Oh, my Lord. Mine's 5 years old. I need a new one. Look at the paint job on those things. I didn't know I needed a new one. I thought I was happy with the one I had until I saw the new one. Get the point? Attention creates desire. That's why people pay millions and millions and millions of dollars to put your idol on TV using your soap. "I used this soap and I've scored 79 touchdowns last year. You use it too." "Really? Okay." "You stink." "Yeah, really? Okay." Attention creates desire. We promised each other forever. That's where we start. And that promise was created out of love, not lust, not infatuation. I looked up the definition, the root word of infatuation. It comes from the Latin, which means foolishness. It's not lust. It's not infatuation. It's love. Love is what created and sustains the world. For God so loved the world that he made up a committee to study the problem. No. For God so loved the world that he gave. And when we give, when we pour into each other, motivated by great love, amazing things happen. I promised her forever. Once you make your promises and keep your promises, then your promise make and keep you. Trust me. What do I mean when I say I promised? Here are four things. Use them as application in your own relationship. Maybe you're not married and you say, "Well, you know what? What should I look for?" Look for someone who will promise this. Now, and let me just stop and say, for those of you who are here and you're not married and you're never going to get married and you're saying, "Why do I have to put up with this?" Because you know what? We create the world in which you live. You better hope and pray to God we get it right. Because it's our kids are going to be roaming your streets. Amen? You better hope that they're law-abiding, productive, tax-paying citizens, not thugs, looking for love. When I promised Paula forever. I promised her my whole heart. My heart will be hers. I will not share it with anyone else. I will not allow temptation. I will not let flirtation. You know, I read an article this week that Facebook is now being used in divorce court by lawyers going out and retrieving some of the stuff that people are writing to girls that they are reconnecting with that they went to high school with. Did you see this? Now, I thought about that, and I saw there are some girls on Facebook that I went to school with that have connected to me, and I went back, I thought, okay, let me just look and see, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, are we this old? Is that a face or a prune package? Gee, if you're that ugly, use an avatar, you know. Any of you guys on Facebook? If you are so ugly that you got to use your dog's picture, I truly do sympathize with you. I look at my wife and say, thank you, Jesus. She is a hot mama, buddy, I'm going to tell you right now. She floats my boat, she revs my motor, and she gets me up in the morning with good intention. There are so many ways in which I failed her. Ways that I wish I could forget. But the one thing I can say, she has always had my heart. Every day. And if I can die and say that, I'm a pretty happy guy. I promised her my full attention. Attention creates desire. Have you seen people out? They're in a restaurant, together, alone, with a big book or a newspaper. And if you do that, you know, who am I to sit? I'm not sitting judgment to you, but I just have to tell you that no one marries a boring person not having any fun, but sad to say, most marriages wind up there, and it does not have to be that way. I focus my full attention on her. One of the best things we have done in our marriage is, we had some marriage counselors here in the first service, and we were talking afterwards, and they asked us about this. We began about 22 or 3 weeks ago, what we call the David and Paula show. It's 30 minutes every Thursday morning. We record it. It's on iTunes. But the thing I didn't realize is my wife is really interesting. You laugh. What are you laughing about? I'm like, I thought I was interesting because I love hearing the sound of my own voice. I'm sure you don't have that problem. But we talk about stuff, and I listen to them and go, oh, my gosh, where did she learn that? I mean, she is so interesting and so wise. And as I'm focusing my attention on her, I'm discovering things about her that I've never noticed, and I'm giving God the praise that I wake up every day loving her. I promised her, thirdly, my best emotions. My best emotions. We're going to talk about sex in this series. Can we say sex in church? No, that's why we say it in the movie theater. That's why they call it cinema. So you'll know. But there's no great mystery to great sex. The key to great sex is desire. Hello? If you don't want to, nothing else matters. Hello? You just don't want to. And I've learned that one of the reasons we are not passionately attracted to one another, come on now, I'm getting ready to preach, is that when we're together, we dump our crap on each other. Can I say crap in public? Well, I couldn't in the church, but I can't hear because this is cinema. If I've committed sin over and over again, it's here. See, I go out and I'm happy. I'm happy, happy. Praise the Lord. I just love Jesus with all my heart. I got it all together. Wish you did just like I do. And then I go home, modeling, depressed. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. And she has to put up with my whining and my moaning. This is not what she signed up for. I should give her my best emotions. Right? Listen, come to the gathering for guys and you want to complain and moan, we're all for it. That's what we're there for. But when you go home, put a smile on your face. Even if you have to lie, God will forgive you. I promised her my best emotions, my joy, my energy, my enthusiasm. I promised to treat her better than I treat any of you. Amen? And if we treat each other this way and we give each other our best emotions, then we can go to Proverbs 5. A loving doe. You know, a graceful deer. May her, can you say breasts in church? Well, you can't because you can't, but you can't hear because this is cinema. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be, what's the word? Captivated. Oh, you remember when you used to be captivated by each other? You were just thinking about each other all the time and just, hey, man, wasn't that awesome? Of course, now you're married and you've entered the real world where you look at the most precious person in your life and go, what's for dinner? And you give up the most precious relationship on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, if society and culture has robbed us of anything, it has robbed us of our understanding of how much privilege is ours to love each other. Yeah, she's not perfect. Neither are you. You're no prize, dude. Have you looked at yourself in a mirror lately? Seriously? Right? That's a great thing about being married, is that we didn't promise each other, you know, I'll love you as long as you have hair. I'll love you as long as you don't have Dunlap disease. I'll love you as long as you don't lose your teeth. For better or for... And some of you said, I didn't know it was going to be so much worse. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of us don't have a marriage that we love is because we don't know how. I mean, how many of you would take your child and let them go and get their license and buy them a brand new Ferrari, never having driven, never having sit in the driver's seat and say, go for it, Bubba? Anyone? No. But we do that in marriage, don't we? We think that we just ought to automatically know, and we don't. Here's the last one. I promised her my full attention. I promised her my best emotion. I promised her forever. I promised her forever. Let's just start right there. Let's just say, God, turn my heart and my affection toward my wife, toward my husband, toward my kids, toward my family. Let me come home and let the passion burn there. Let's start there. You want to? Want to? Want to? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to turn our hearts back toward each other. May we desire each other. And where we have lost the desire, where we have lost the want to, let us go back there together and say, how do we get this back? And let's get it back. And let's fan the flame. And let's make sure we never, ever, ever, ever lose it again. Let's make sure that we love each other so much that when you walk in the door, my eyes light up. I have a smile and I run to you and welcome you and greet you as though you are the greatest person in the whole world. Dear God, make it happen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.